Вы слушаете Сеченов Лайф.
Dear colleagues, fortunately, we have an opportunity to remind you educational material related to subject matter of chronic liver disease, including liver cirrhosis and end-stage liver conditions. What's liver cirrhosis? Cirrhosis is a chronic disorder characterized by replacement of normal liver tissue with diffused fibrosis that disrupts normal structure and function of liver, and liver cirrhosis is the final pathological result of various chronic liver disease, and a precursor of cirrhosis is presented by liver fibrosis. Cirrhosis is defined histologically as a diffused hepatic process characterized by fibrosis and conversion of normal liver architecture into structurally abnormal nodules. Many forms of liver injury are marked by fibrosis, which is defined as an excess deposition of components of extracellular matrix like collagens, glycoproteins, proteoglycans in the liver. This response to liver injury potentially is reversible. By contrast, in most patients, cirrhosis is not a reversible process. In addition to fibrosis, the complications of cirrhosis include, but are not limited to, portal hypertension, ascites, hepatorenal syndrome, and hepatic encephalopathy. Often a poor correlation exists between the histological findings in cirrhosis in the clinical picture. Some patients with cirrhosis are completely asymptomatic and have a reasonably normal life expectancy. Other individuals have a multitude or most severe symptoms and end-stage liver disease and have a limited chance to survival. Future drug strategies to prevent fibrosis may focus on reducing hepatic inflammation, inhibiting stellate cells activation, inhibiting of fibrogenic activities of stellate cells, and stimulated matrix degradation. The most common causes of cirrhosis include the following: hepatitis C, 26%, alcoholic liver disease, 21%, hepatitis C in combination with alcoholic liver disease, 15%, cryptogenic causes, 18%. Many causes actually are due to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Hepatitis B may be coincident with hepatitis D in 15% of cases. Miscellaneous causes of chronic liver disease and cirrhosis include autoimmune hepatitis, primary biliary cholangitis, secondary biliary cirrhosis associated with chronic extrahepatic bile duct obstruction, primary sclerosing cholangitis, hemochromatosis, Wilson disease, alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, granulomatous disease like sarcoidosis, type 4 glycogen storage disease, drug-induced liver disease, including intoxication by methotrexate, alpha-methyldopa, amiodarone, venous outflow obstruction like Budd-Chiari syndrome, vena occlusive disease, chronic right-sided heart failure, tricuspid regurgitation. The complications of cirrhosis include, but are not limited to, portal hypertension, ascites, hepatorenal syndrome, and hepatic encephalopathy. Portal hypertension. The normal liver has the ability to accommodate large changes of portal blood flow without appreciable alterations in portal pressure. Portal hypertension results from a combination of increased portal venous inflow and increased resistance to portal blood flow. Prehepatic causes of portal hypertension. Prehepatic causes include splenic vein thrombosis, portal vein thrombosis, and these conditions commonly are associated with hypercoagulable state in the malignancy, for example, in cases of pancreatic cancer. Intrahepatic causes of portal hypertension. Intrahepatic causes of portal hypertension are divided into pre-sinusoidal, sinusoidal, and post-sinusoidal conditions. The classic sinusoidal cause of portal hypertension is cirrhosis. The classic form of pre-sinusoidal portal hypertension is caused by deposition, for example, of schistosoma, oocytes in pre-sinusoidal portal venous, but with subsequent development of granulomata in portal fibrosis. The classic post-sinusoidal condition is an entity known as vena occlusive disease. Obliteration of terminal hepatic venules may result from ingestion of some alkaloids or following the high-dose chemotherapy and that precedes the bone marrow transplantation. Post-hepatic causes of portal hypertension may include chronic right-sided heart failure, tricuspid regurgitation, and obstructing lesions of hepatic veins and inferior vena cava. The latter condition and the symptoms they produce are termed Bott-Chiari syndrome. Predisposing conditions include hypercoagulable states, tumor invasion into a hepatic vein or inferior vena cava, and obstruction of the inferior vena cava. Symptoms of Bott-Chiari syndrome are attributed to decreased outflow of blood from the liver, with resulting hepatic congestion and portal hypertension. These symptoms include hepatomegaly, abdominal pain, and ascites. Cirrhosis inches only later in course of disease, differentiated by Chiari syndrome from cirrhosis by history or physical examination may be in some cases difficult. Thus, Bott-Chiari syndrome must be induced, included in the differential diagnosis of conditions that produce ascites and varices. Ascites. Ascites, which is an accumulation of excessive fluid within the peritoneal cavity, can be a complication or is a hepatic or non-hepatic disease. The four most common causes of ascites are cirrhosis, neoplasm, congestive heart failure, and tuberculous peritonitis. In the past, ascites was classified as being a transudate or an exudate. In transudate ascites, fluid was said to cross the liver capsule because of an imbalance in Starling forces. In general, ascites protein would be less than 2.5 grams per deciliter in this form of ascites. A classic cause of transudate ascites would be portal hypertension secondary to cirrhosis and congestive heart failure. Attributing ascites to disease of non-peritoneal and peritoneal origin is more useful. Cause of non-peritoneal ascites could be presented by cases with intrahepatic portal hypertension, in cirrhosis, in fulminant hepatic failure, and vena occlusive disease. Extrahepatic portal hypertension with non-peritoneal ascites could be present by hepatic vein obstruction, like in Bott-Chiari syndrome, and congestive heart failure. The role of portal hypertension in the pathogenesis of cirrhotic ascites. The formation of ascites in cirrhosis depends on the presence of unfavorable Starling forces within the hepatic sinusoid and on some degree of renal dysfunction. Patients with cirrhosis are observed to have increased hepatic lymphatic flow. The role of renal dysfunction in the pathogenesis of cirrhotic ascites in patients with cirrhosis experience sodium retention, impaired free water excursion, and intravascular volume overload. These abnormalities may occur even in the setting of normal glomerular filtration rate. They are, in some extent, due to increased levels of renin and aldosterone. Clinical features of ascites. Ascites is suggested by presence of the following findings upon physical examination. First, abdominal distension. Second, bulking flanks. Third, shifting dullness. Fourth, elicitation of a paddle sign with patients in elbow position. Spontaneous bacterial peritonitis. Spontaneous bacterial peritonitis is observed in 15-26% of patients hospitalized with ascites. The syndrome arises most commonly in patients whose low protein ascites, less than 1 gram per deciliter, contain low levels of complement, resulting in decreased opsonic activity. Spontaneous bacterial peritonitis appears to be caused by the translocation of gastrointestinal tract bacteria across the gut wall and also by hematogenous spread of bacteria. The most common causative organisms are presented by Escherichia coli, Streptococcus pneumoniae, Klebsiella species, and other gram-negative enteric microorganisms. Umbilical and inguinal hernias are common in patients with moderate and massive ascites. Patients with massive ascites may experience abdominal discomfort, depressed appetite, and decreased oral intake. Diaphragmatic elevation may lead to symptoms of dyspnea. Pleural effusions may result from the passage of acidic fluid across channels in the diaphragm. Hepatorenal syndrome or cardiohepatorenal syndrome. This syndrome represents a continuum of renal dysfunction that may be observed in patients with a combination of cirrhosis and ascites. Hepatorenal syndrome is caused by vasoconstriction of large and small renal arteries and the impaired renal perfusion that results. The syndrome maybe represent an imbalance between renal vasoconstrictors and renal vasodilators. Plasma levels of a number of vasoconstricting substances, including angiotensin, antidiuretic hormone, and norepinephrine, are elevated in patients with cirrhosis. Hepatorenal syndrome is diagnosed when a creatinine clearance rate is less than 40 milliliters per minute, and present or when a serum creatinine level is greater than 1.5 milligrams per deciliter, a urine volume is less than 500 milliliters per day. Hepatic encephalopathy is a syndrome observed in some patients with cirrhosis and marked by personality changes, intellectual impairment, and a depressed level of conscientiousness. The diversion of portal blood into the systemic circulation appears to be a prerequisite for the syndrome. Indeed, hepatic encephalopathy may develop in patients without cirrhosis who undergo portal stent surgery. A number of theories have been postulated to explain the pathogenesis of hepatic encephalopathy in patients with cirrhosis, but patients may have altered brain injury energy metabolism and increased permeability of the blood-brain barrier. The latter may facilitate the passage of neurotoxin in the brain. Putative neurotoxins include short-chain fatty acids, mercaptans, so-called FELS neurotransmitters like tyramine, octapamine, beta-phenylbutamines, ammonia, and gamma-aminobutyric acid. Other manifestations of cirrhosis. In many patients with cirrhosis experience fatigue, anorexia, weight loss, and muscle wasting. Cutaneous manifestations of cirrhosis include jaundice, spider angiomata, skin telangiectasias termed paper money skin by Professor Dame Sheila Sherlock, palmar erythema, white nails, disappearance of lunula, and finger clubbing, especially in the setting of hepatopulmonary syndrome. Caput medusa also may be observed in patients with portal hypertension. Patients with cirrhosis may experience increased conversion of androgenic steroids into estrogens in skin, adipose tissue, muscles, and bones. Male may develop a gynecomastia and impotence. Loss of axillary and pubic hair is noted in men and women. Hyperestrogenemia also may explain spider angiomata and palmar erythema. Anemia may result from folate deficiency, hemolysis, or hypersplenism. Thrombocytopenia usually is secondary to hypersplenism and decreased level of thrombopoietin. Coagulopathy results from decreased hepatic production of coagulation factors. Assessment of the severity of cirrhosis. For many years, the most common prognostic tool used in patients with cirrhosis was Child-Turcotte-Pugh system. Child-Turcotte first introduced the scoring system in 1964 and means of predicting the operative mortality associated with Porte-Cavall-Shunt surgery. Since 2002, liver transplant programs have used the model of end-stage liver disease, MELD, scoring system to assess the relative severity of patients' liver disease. The 3-month mortality statistics are associated with the following MELD scores. Pharmacological treatment. Specific medical therapies may be applied to many liver disease in effort to diminish symptoms and to prevent or forestall the development of cirrhosis. Example include prednisone, azathioprine in autoimmune hepatitis, antiviral agents for hepatitis B and C, phlebotomy for hemochromatosis, ursodeoxycholic acid for primary biliary cholangitis, triantine and zinc for Wilson disease. Thank you for attention. I suppose it was interesting and useful to you to refresh information related to chronic liver disease.
Session of Life.